at macfound.org.
And if you have a car you no longer need, think about using it to support WMNF. Donating a car, truck, or other vehicle is a great way to support the causes you care about most, like your station. Visit WMNF.org or call 888-966-3885. Good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF. This is 88.5 FM, community radio from West Central Florida. Welcome to Executive Session. This is a forum for discussion of the executive branch of your United States government. I'm John Gilmore, and I host the sessions each weekday, Monday through Thursday. At this time, we are normally joined by Mr. Adam Baxt, and Adam, I think, is on his, maybe on his spring break. If he is, I hope he remains safe, has fun, and comes back soon. All viewpoints are welcome in the conversation. We require civility, much as you would if you were talking to your neighbor across your back fence, because basically that's the premise, that radio can still be the back fence of the nation, which is to say a place for reasonable people to hash out the issues of the day and walk away enriched, even if they don't agree, if they still don't agree. You can join the conversation at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org and by text at 813-433-0885. Be sure to find Executive Session on Facebook. If you like and follow the page, you can see all the links to the material we discuss on any given day and also join the discussions that happen there from time to time. So, the I word. Suddenly, it is on the wind. The Speaker of the House, second in constitutional line of presidential succession, as quoted by NBC News, quote, "I'm not for impeachment. Impeachment is so divisive to the country that unless there's something so compelling and overwhelming and bipartisan, I don't think we should go down that path because it divides the country and he's just not worth it." Further quote from NBC, across the country, many Democratic activists, or at least active Twitter users, have been in an uproar over Pelosi's acknowledgement in a Washington Post interview published Monday afternoon that she's, quote, not for impeachment. Many House Democrats worry that if they impeach Trump, only to watch the Senate come up short of the two-thirds threshold necessary to remove him from office, they will send a signal to the electorate that they overreached for partisan political gain. On the other hand, from a different article in NBC News, there are certainly Democrats who argue Pelosi has a moral obligation to move forward with the impeachment process now because they believe there is already ample evidence that Trump has committed high crimes and misdemeanors. What do you think? Do you see sufficient evidence of high crimes and misdemeanors to justify impeaching the president? Do you think it's appropriate to try and balance constitutional duty? Because the Constitution charges the Congress and the House, I guess specifically in some cases, with oversight of the executive branch. So, do you think it's appropriate to try and balance constitutional duty and political realities? And what do you think, I know this is a lot of questions, but just for consideration, what do you think would happen if the House commenced impeachment hearings? If the House impeaches, which is an indictment, what would happen in the Senate trial? And if the Senate refused to convict and the president was impeached, but not removed, what do you think would happen? Let's talk.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days.
Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare state.
Impeachment. Suddenly the air is full of it in the last 24 to 36 hours. And I was curious about your reaction to all that. I was curious to know how it is that you see the situation at this point. There are a lot of people that think that this House must initiate the hearings and the processes that end in an impeachment. And there are some who consider that one of the fundamental things that has to be taken into consideration is that the Senate remains in Republican control and seems to be willing to be extremely accommodating of the president and his unorthodox style. And wonder what would happen if the House impeached the president and the Senate and the outcome of the trial in the Senate was that he was not removed from office. That was the case with Mr. Bill Clinton. And when that happened, the man's popularity went to some 60%. So there is, do you think it's proper to consider the political implications or the political realities when deciding about how to proceed? And I don't know. What do you think? We're going to talk to David in Palm Harbor. David, good afternoon. You're in executive session, kicking us off on a Wednesday afternoon. Are you there? Let's try it again. Are you there? Hold on for a second. We'll try it this way. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
There you go. Okay, well, we'll just hit the buttons from in here, that's all. We got a little screen up here that just doesn't seem to want to talk to me. Aw. Anyway, what were you going to say?
Well, I just wanted to call and give you my verdict on what should be done. I think that President Trump should be impeached.
Uh-huh.
I think that his taxes, I think he's lying on his taxes. I believe that he's making money as our president in his own businesses.
Uh-huh.
And isn't that grounds for impeachment, tax fraud, and getting money from your businesses by being the president?
The Constitution has a clause that we've all now become aware of called the Emoluments Clause that was apparently included to prevent our chief executive from being bribed. And so you wonder when, I think it was the Saudis who had previously booked two rooms in Trump's hotels ever. And after he was elected, they pretty much bought up a whole floor. And you kind of wonder if that was... Is it just coincidental?
And Mar-a-Lago, I mean, isn't he the owner?
I'm not sure exactly what the corporate structure for Mar-a-Lago is, but I believe I know that it is generally considered quote his unquote. So there's that.
Yeah, it's just something doesn't seem right. I've never seen a president do that before. I mean, even Bush sold his baseball team before he became president.
Yeah.
But he is constantly making money, and most of his cabinet are going to jail. Something's not right.
It seems that way.
And it seems just like, I mean, they tried to impeach Bill Clinton having sex in the Oval Office. I mean,
Well, they actually did. They actually did impeach him. The House impeached him, and basically, what they impeached him for was because he lied about some material fact in the process of the investigation. So it was about sexual activity in the Oval Office, but what he actually got impeached for was, I think it was actually considered obstruction of justice or perjury.
Wow. Don't we have that already?
Well, that's one of the things. That's one of the things that that people are looking at is, and this whole thing, high crimes and misdemeanors, that apparently was left deliberately nebulous. So that the Congress would have to look to see what behavior rose to the level that somebody should be indicted in the House and then tried in the Senate.
Yeah, it seems kind of funny that Nancy Pelosi would not get behind impeachment. That was kind of a shock to me.
Yeah.
I thought for sure they would, at least try to do something.
Well, I'll tell you what, they are doing something. If you look in the, if you look at the activities of the various committees in the House, there is a lot going on. And
yeah.
Nancy Pelosi is one of the most highly experienced and adept politicians going right now. And she is painfully aware of the political realities around her and has been for a long time. And
yeah.
So I actually basically agree with her assessment, which is that if the House was to indict the president, the Senate wouldn't convict him.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah. So, that's one of the things that your consternation and puzzlement are among the things we're discussing today. So thank you for bringing them into the session. That's exactly what we're looking at. It's like, what the heck is going on here?
Well, thanks for having me. This is my first time.
Well, welcome aboard. I'm glad that you got in and I hope we get to talk again.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Sure enough. Bye. All right, 813-239-9663 will get you into the conversation. You will reach Mr. Ed Green this afternoon, who will answer your call, and he's going to want to know your first name. He's going to want to know where you're calling from, maybe a word or two about what you want to talk about in the session this afternoon, and we will put you on the air as soon as we can. Now, I have... On the Facebook page, on the Executive Session Facebook page, in the comments section under today's post, there is a comment that I posted that is a viewpoint from an outfit called Need to Impeach, and the title of the post or the title of the article is Donald Trump's 10 Impeachable Offenses. So there is someone out there who thinks that his behavior has been sufficiently clearly in the realm of high crimes and misdemeanors that he must be impeached. And we can talk about some of those too if you're interested. 813-239-9663. Let's see here. Bob in Lake Alfred, can you hear me?
Yes.
There you are. Okay. Good afternoon. How is it out there in Lake Alfred this afternoon?
A little windy, so I hope it's not coming through the phone.
Well, so far it's doing fine.
Okay.
What's going on?
I agree that there are probably more than 10 impeachable offenses that Donald Trump has committed.
Mm-hmm.
But I also agree with Nancy Pelosi and her assessment. Right now, the Senate will not convict Trump.
Yeah.
Under McConnell's leadership, they won't get the votes to convict him.
Yeah.
So, go ahead. What I think they ought to do is, after the next election, hopefully Donald Trump will lose,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully the Senate will become more Democratic.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, if Donald Trump loses, Bob Mueller should be standing in the wings waiting for Donald Trump to sign over power, and as he comes off, put the handcuffs on him.
I think that's one of the president's most feared possible outcomes, is that he would end up out of office and be facing the blowback, I guess is a fairly accurate term.
Well, just save all the charges that I'm sure he's already found.
Yeah.
And just put the handcuffs on him when he's no longer president.
Yeah.
If he wins the election, hopefully the Senate will be more Democratic, and then you could impeach him.
If
right off the bat.
I would predict that if the Senate was turned to the Democrats at the level where they had 67 votes, that the and the president was reelected, that the impeachment would begin so quickly.
It'd begin the next day.
I'm pretty sure that somewhere around the early morning of the 22nd of January.
Yeah,
there would be something happening. So, and let me go over, because something that Pelosi said, and there's this is kind of one of the operant phrases: unless there's something so compelling and overwhelming and bipartisan.
Yes.
See,
I agree with that. If there's something so overwhelming that even the Republicans in the Senate go, did he really do that?
Yeah, we can't be having any of that.
No, we can't do that. You know, they're going to, I don't know that they're, how compelling things are going to be. We've got to wait and see what Bob Mueller says.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's going to be one of the, turning points in this. And whatever the Mueller report reveals, but there are so many investigations going on, Bob. There are investigations in the Southern District of New York. And I don't even know all the jurisdictions in New York City. New York City is hot into some of his organizations now.
Yeah. He's being investigated everywhere.
Yeah.
And with Michael Cohen turning over, just with boxes and boxes of documents, I'm sure they've got plenty of ammunition to put Trump away. He's going to rue the day that he became president of the United States.
He could have
successfully hidden in the background and kept doing all his illegal stuff without consequence until he put himself in the public eye under such hard scrutiny.
Yep, he dragged himself out where the lights are bright.
Yep.
And also dragged himself out where the big sharks are.
Yeah, and he's likely to take down his whole family.
Yeah, so I don't know. You know, there are so many different viewpoints into the activity of his organizations and his family and stuff like that. And I don't know. We're going to have to find out. It's tough because there's a lot of emotion invested. And it's a slow process. It's taken a lot of time because it's very, very intricate. It's an extensive investigation, and it's easy to get impatient.
Yes, I'm impatient as well, but I'm just trying to keep my hands behind my back and quietly bite my teeth, and hopefully when Bob Mueller comes out with his report, that we'll have some kind of really legitimate action that we can take one way or the other.
Well, we shall. We'll know. Now, we also have a bunch of people who are looking at the circumstances around Mueller's team, and going, they're getting ready to put this thing in a wrap.
Yes.
They are. You know, and I don't know that. Bob Mueller is. I heard a guy describe Bob Mueller's investigative techniques last night, and you talk about leaving no stone unturned, man.
Yes, he's very thorough.
All right, Bob. Listen, I'm glad to hear from you from out there. I hope that the wind operates to your advantage this afternoon, and we'll talk again.
Okay, thank you.
Sure enough. All right, 813-239-9663. We are going to spend the day today. We've been talking about this suddenly impeachment. Nancy Pelosi came out and she said that she's not for impeachment, that it's so divisive that unless there's something so compelling, overwhelming, and bipartisan, she doesn't think that we should go down that path because of the divisiveness of it, and wrapped up the wrapped up her remarks with the sentence, "He's just not worth it." So, you know, what do you think? 813-239-9663. And Alex on the road in Wauchula. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John.
I am here and you are here.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. You're doing all right out there on the road?
Yeah, I'm just down here doing my job and listening to some good impeachment talk. You know, you mentioned January 22nd, and it reminded me of January 22nd of 2017, John, when I thought to myself, this guy is going to get impeached and real, real fast. I'm literally blown away by what has gone on in the last 2 years and the high ground that the Republicans seem to think that they're on. So from the very beginning, where he tells us that he's going to show us, does anybody remember him saying he's going to show us his tax returns when his audit was finished?
He actually, the first statement about his tax returns that I remember was him declaring that he was going to release his tax returns if he ran.
Right. And then it followed with, of course, tons of things have changed over the course of the years, but it changed into as soon as the audit is finished.
Right.
So I don't know of any audit that's taken 2-3 years, but so he's fought this at every turn.
Mm-hmm.
We're finding out that he's instructed his lawyer to to hold back his test scores.
Mm-hmm.
Funny what's in the news right now about people getting their kids into school.
Yeah, that's a kind of an interesting juxtaposition, isn't it?
So there's another little thing right there. But I find it really, really crazy, John, about, you know, when I actually listened to the Michael Cohen hearing on WMNF while I was on the road, and to hear all of this screaming at Michael Cohen about him being a liar. Just liar, liar, pants on fire.
Yeah.
And who do they think that he's lying for? I don't understand their position. Their position. They know who he's lying for.
Uh-huh.
They know that every single person close to this guy is listening.
I think you're drifting out of range, Alex. We're having a hard time hearing you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to thank you very much for being here this afternoon, and anytime you get in range again, call us back.
All right.
Okay. Thanks a lot. 813-239-9663. We'll get you in contact with Mr. Ed Green this afternoon. Mr. Green is going to want to know your name and where you're calling from and something about what you want to talk about, maybe. We are going to step out for just a moment or two to get a little information to you about who else is supporting your radio station and maybe some places that you could go to hear some good music. Support for WMNF comes from our members and Goodwill. The annual book drive for Goodwill's childhood literacy program, Bookworks, is now underway. Donations of children's books labeled for Bookworks will be accepted at any Goodwill store or donation site now through March 15th. Goodwill will make sure they are given to children who may not otherwise have books of their own. More at goodwill-suncoast-org.
Ike Riley, star of Tropical Heatwave and longtime WMNF favorite, is returning to Tampa and the Attic in Ybor City on March 28th.
She haunts my hideout.
You don't want to miss the show opener at 8 p.m., Siobhan Philidor.
It's time to let go.
That's Ike Riley at the Attic in Ybor City, Thursday night, March 28th. Capacity is limited, so get your tickets now at WMNF.org.
Back to the conversation open this afternoon, talking about impeachment, because it just seems to be everywhere in the air since Nancy Pelosi made a statement to apparently the Washington Post and said that she doesn't think that she's not for it. She thinks it's too divisive, and that unless there is something basically almost overwhelmed, and she used the word overwhelming, that she doesn't think we should go down that path. So what do you think, Mary in Seminole? You are in executive session this afternoon, and you have the floor.
Wow. My heart is racing. I'd like to share with you, in my opinion, Trump is nothing more than a Russian appointee.
That's harsh.
I truly believe that.
I hear you. That's a pretty stark proclamation. Go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that, and thanks for letting me go ahead. I think he's a Russian appointee through hacked social media, based on reports, also through the warped and possibly lobbied Electoral College. I'm not exactly sure how that works. But I've seen, you know, in the past, I've seen reports about the Electoral College, and it seems it's highly possible that they can be lobbied and they can be bribed, just like the colleges can.
I'm not sure about that, but I think that the actual mechanical operation of the thing seems to lend itself to taking precedence over popular voting.
Right. Yes. Yeah, and you know, I know there are a lot of mechanics to it as far as, you know, how many electoral votes each state has. And, you know, I really think that if it's at all possible, we the American people need to come together. And we need to come together as a group, and Republican, Democrat, Independent, Green Party, Tea Party, whatever party, we should come together. And we should lobby, saying it needs to be our vote. Not Electoral College, whoever they are, whatever they are. One more thing I just quickly wanted to share. I do not call Trump the president. He is not my president. Until it's proven that he had nothing to do with, the hacks. It's been proven that Russia got involved and hacked, and there's social media involvement, and there's hacking. And I would love to see Trump be impeached. I would love to see Mr. Donald J. Trump be impeached from the White House. However, I agree with Speaker Pelosi. No doubt she has a lot more information than we, the American public, have, and she may know why we need to defer to Special Counsel Robert Mueller. He may need to come in with the precision of a surgeon and slice and dice and perhaps remove the cancer.
Yeah.
So.
I'm not. I don't know how much more about that particular thing that she does know. And you are. It's entirely possible that you're correct, and she has a lot deeper body of knowledge about that than we do. But I think that she is wise to wait until that investigation has run its course. And and that we can, and so then we can actually deal with, instead of speculation and consideration, we can actually deal with what the investigation reveals.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And no one would like to see grab them by the PY. If she was my daughter, I would date her. Racist, misogynist, xenophobic. I could go on. No one would like to see him impeached more than I would.
Uh-huh.
I don't think, if it's possible. I feel it in my blood. It boils.
Uh-huh.
But I have to remain calm. And I think, like you've said on your show many times, and especially today, and a lot of your callers have said, allow Speaker Pelosi, who's been in politics since she was, 10? Maybe we should allow her to do the work that she has been doing for so many years.
Yeah. I have a great deal of respect for her professionalism. I also think it was a brilliant combination to put her in the speaker's chair with all this incredible young energy present,
yes,
newly present in the House.
Yes.
I think that was a good idea because they have all this energy, they have all this new vision, they have all these places they want to go, and she, right, knows how the system operates.
Amen.
So I think it could be a very productive partnership with them. All right, Mary. Listen, I hope that your blood remains temperate enough for you to keep going. All right, and I'm really glad that we got to talk this afternoon. And thank you for calling, and we'll talk again.
I'm honored and privileged. Thank you so much.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663 will get you into executive session here this afternoon. Mr. Green will answer the phone. Ed Green is answering your calls this afternoon to get you ready to step up in here. And we're just going to step on through this list here. Dave in Tampa, good afternoon. You are in executive session, and you have the floor.
Hey, John.
Hey.
You know, Nancy Pelosi's right. It's not bipartisan, and it's pointless now because you don't even have an investigation completed to,
yeah,
bring charges against the president.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't understand Democrats who get angry with her. You know, what needs to be remembered here is the Republican Party spent the last 2 years impeding an investigation into this guy. There's plenty of probable cause out there to mount an investigation on about 15 different fronts, from bank fraud to tax fraud to collusion. And, you know, I mean, you could go down the list of things that should have been.
Yes, I have a list in front of me right here.
I'm not talking about Mueller. I'm talking about Congress.
Yeah, I hear you.
And the Republican Party has obstructed justice. That's all there is. That's all you can say. They've just simply obstructed justice. And I think it's a criminal enterprise. And I think people in the Republican Party ought to ask themselves, are you for the Republican Party or are you for rule of law in this country? And George Washington warned us about this. Read his farewell address.
Oh, that radical leftist Washington.
Yeah, yeah. The Republican Party needs to ask itself whether it's for rule of law or it's for the Republican Party at all costs. Because that's what congressional leadership did for the last 2 years, was GOP at all costs.
Uh-huh.
So the Democrats who are out there angry with Nancy Pelosi ought to turn their rage to the Republican Party and start talking about that.
Well, we have
to be shooting your own leaders when you've got the Republican Party over there protecting a criminal enterprise in the White House.
There you go. That is clearly and succinctly stated. Thank you very much, Dave, for your well thought out and well delivered opinion.
Thanks, John.
Sure enough, we'll talk again, Dave. 813-239-9663. Now, again, we're talking about impeachment, the wisdom of impeachment, the political realities surrounding impeachment as contrasted with the congressional charge for oversight made in the Constitution So here is here's just a few. This is from a group called Need to Impeach. Donald Trump's 10 impeachable offenses. First line, but Trump has repeatedly attempted to interfere in the Russia investigation and has admitted as much. And that's a clear case of obstructing justice. Because he never divested from his business interest, he violates the Constitution every time the Trump Organization has business dealings with foreign or American officials. He tried to cover up his campaign's contacts with a Russian national, which at the very least constituted a violation of federal law. And that's just the top three. There's a list of 10. So you know, what do you think of that? What do you think would happen if the House instituted impeachment proceedings, successfully impeached the president, and that's an indictment. And the indictment that was the impeachment was sent to the Senate, and in the trial in the Senate, he was not convicted. What do you think would happen? 813-239-9663. Flo in Largo, good afternoon. Your patience is admirable. You're in executive session this afternoon. Welcome aboard.
Hi. Yes, of course I think Donald Trump should be impeached. I think he should have been impeached yesterday. And I agree wholeheartedly with the things that lady caller just said a couple calls back. One thing that's bothering me now is when I was listening to Amy Goodman a couple hours ago, one of her last segments was someone came on about, you know, talking about Joe Biden. And I wasn't aware of a lot of these things with him. And one of them was when there was the crash in 08 and Obama, you know, just more or less let the banks get away with everything and slap on the wrist time and everything. Joe Biden didn't really speak up about it. I think the senator that replaced him wanted to do more about it, and he wouldn't support him at all. So that, among other things, said something to me. And he has been just, you know, playing this hard-to-get game, and will he run? When's he going to announce it? I just think he's much more establishment Democrat than Bernie Sanders is. I love Bernie Sanders, and I just don't want to see Bernie get screwed again like he did the last time. I think there was really some bad monkey business and stuff going on.
Yeah.
And if I have to, I will vote for whoever is the Democratic candidate if it's Joe Biden, but I really don't want to hold my nose again like I did with Hillary. I want Bernie, and I trust Bernie. I think this country has been really damaged by Donald Trump, and we need real progressives to help straighten things out for us. Bernie Sanders, all the new people like AOC and Elizabeth Warren. We need these people desperately. We do not need more of Republican light, like, oh, here we go again, you know, let the big money get, you know, everything goes to the big money. We don't need to continue on that path. We need some real reform. So I think we should just keep our eyes open about things. I think Nancy Pelosi is doing a great job right now, but she's establishment Democrat, and she's a real pro, as is Joe Biden. So I just think we should really keep our eyes wide open about things, and, you know, that's find out all we can. That's what's great about listening to your station. You tell us so many different things.
Yeah.
One more thing that was said yesterday really you know, says a lot to me. Somebody said, don't be afraid of socialism. It's just controlled capitalism. And, you know, that's exactly what we need, controlled capitalism.
Yep. All right, listen, that was an amazing stream, and I really appreciate you hanging around for long enough to just come in here and deliver that right flat-footed. I really appreciate that a lot.
Okay.
And we'll talk again, Flo.
Oh, I'm praying. Thank you.
Thanks again. 813-239-9663. I'll tell you what, there are some well thought out opinions out there. It's always glad. It's one of the privileges of being in here 4 days a week is to get to listen to this community and to listen to you as you think things through and come on to the air and share them with the rest of us. I'll tell you what, let's get this last break taken care of, and then we will just rush right through to the finish line. We'll be right back.
A great annual WMNF event is the Caribbean Cruise Music Festival. You'll feel like you're on a Caribbean island with the aroma of island food, sweet sounds of island music, and colorfully dressed island people.
Now I have climbed upon this mountain. Before my eyes I see.
Join us at Skipper Smokehouse, Saturday, March 23rd, 4 p.m. to midnight.
WMNF is a listener-supported community radio station that celebrates cultural diversity and is committed to equality, peace, and economic justice. WMNF provides broadcasts and other forums with a grassroots local emphasis that promotes creative, musical, and political vitality. WMNF advocates for peace, social justice, and environmental justice through independent media and programming neglected by the mainstream. We embrace diversity, tolerance for others' opinions, and freedom of expression. WMNF celebrates and promotes the cultural, creative, and political vitality of the local community. We're your community-conscious radio station, WMNF Tampa.
All right, we are back to the conversation, a very lively discussion this afternoon of impeachment, the pros and cons of impeachment, the balance between congressional duty as outlined in the Constitution and the political circumstances in the immediate political now, and the fact that the Speaker of the House, where such impeachment originates, has said, nah, I'm not interested in doing that. It's too divisive. We don't have enough to go on, and the outcome is not likely to be what do you call salutary. So 813-239-9663. John in St. Pete, good afternoon. You are in executive session and you have the floor.
Hello John. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
One of your callers mentioned that she thought that Donald Trump was a Russian operative.
I heard, I said that's pretty harsh.
But operative implies somewhat of a skill. I think he's a Russian stooge, to be quite honest with you. But I don't believe you should be impeached because we don't have the votes in the Senate to complete the job.
Uh-huh.
However, I think that Mr. Mueller is going to transfer a lot of the information that he's gotten to the district court in New York.
Mm.
And I think to get away from being able to pardon his son-in-law and his daughter and his other sons, that's what Mr. Mueller is going to do.
Mm.
Because I believe Mr. Trump is going to actually bury the report. And I also think that he's guilty of RICO. I think Mr. Giuliani, who's very familiar with the RICO statutes, would be very well aware that this is racketeering.
Mm-hmm.
You can take all these crimes, put them together. It's racketeering and influence and corruption.
It's very interesting, in my estimation, that Mr. Mueller has hired lawyers that are very, very well known for prosecuting RICO cases.
Exactly.
You know,
that's because he knows that he's guilty of that.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But I think state courts where this is going to end up because of the obstruction of the co-conspirators in the Senate. The Republicans there.
Mm.
They're just, if they do nothing, they're as complicit in his crimes as himself.
Mm. Well, it's hard for me to believe that a guy that has run his organization in such a hands-on way throughout his life doesn't know what the people, the very high-level people in his campaign, were doing.
Of course.
It doesn't make sense to me. The guy is a real hands-on guy. He loves to be in charge of what's going on. He likes to direct things. He likes to have people come to him and him tell them what to do and all like. And that the notion that in an endeavor so important as a campaign for the presidency, he would not know what's going on in the top levels of his campaign? Doesn't make sense to me.
Did Mr. Cohen say that his son, Don Jr., is so dumb that he didn't do anything without asking his dad?
Well, I'll tell you what. I am sorry that we had to get a view into the relationship between Mr. Cohen and Mr. Trump. I think that it's almost like shoving a mic in a family therapy session.
Well, they're two peas in a pod.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time, sir.
All right, sir. Well, we'll talk again. Thanks a lot.
Yes, sir. Bye.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663 and go to talk to Wendell in beautiful downtown St. Pete. Good afternoon, Wendell. You're in executive session.
Well, yes. Good afternoon, John. Yeah, I'm definitely in favor of the impeachment process. I think Nancy Pelosi, she doesn't have that much in the game. And I think that, for her to defer, says that she's probably vulnerable to the whole, political trail. I mean, she's one of those multimillionaires. She'll be okay if Trump gets in. She'll be okay if Obama gets in. She'll be okay if Biden gets in. She doesn't care, so she doesn't really worry about the outcome. And for people, I mean, come on, Trump lies. That should alone be enough. For people to act like we don't need to, indict, we don't need to prosecute, we don't need to investigate people when they lie outright, just says that, you don't care about justice. That's like saying, oh, we shouldn't indict the cops because it'll divide the community.
Mm. So as far as you're concerned, the fact of the president's repeated misrepresentations, distortions, and outright untruths, just that fact alone is evidence that there is something going on that he should not be in office.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what does that say about your government when your president lies and you just pass it by? It's sort of like the banks are too big to fail. No, they're not.
Yeah.
I mean, if they do something wrong, we can't indict the banks or we can't get the banks in trouble because they're too big and it'll cause disruption. No, justice is justice. And if you're going to say that we shouldn't investigate cops because no one's going to prosecute them because they're white and because, they have privilege, and that's the wrong approach. I can't imagine why anybody, Republicans or Democrats, but it just shows you that the Democrats are right behind the Republicans. Republicans are worse in terms of money and in terms of, greed and corruption, but the Democrats are right behind it. And basically everyone's running towards the cliff. It's just that the Republicans are in front. The Democrats are right behind. And they're going to, fall into the abyss as well.
Yeah.
That insider trading thing with Nancy Pelosi says that she's part of the moneyed group. So, she's going to protect that.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Democrats have an interesting practice of eating their own. It's really interesting to see how quickly they will engage in this bitter inside debate and just throw people out.
Well, it's not throwing them out. I'm sorry, wrong is wrong. I don't care what side of the fence, Democrat or Republican. If you're not doing the right thing by your country and just by justice, like I'm saying, lying is wrong. Period. Don't allow it. Don't turn your head. Don't it's divisive. Don't say we're not going to be able to convict them even if they lie. No, I mean, so if Democrats, I'm waiting for Republicans to say, yeah, a lie is a lie is a lie. We got rid of Clinton on far less lies,
yeah.
And yet all of a sudden, I'm saying all the people that are just saying that we don't need to impeach, they'll do well if Trump stays in, they'll do well if Pence goes in, they'll do well regardless, because they're part of the whole moneyed group.
I see.
That's my point.
Okay, listen, I appreciate you bringing it, Wendell. Appreciate it a lot. We'll talk again.
You.
Have a great day.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663 as we walk up to the threshold of the lightning round this afternoon and go to talk to David in Clearwater. Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon. How are you?
So far, not bad. We will know more later.
Pretty good, John. Sounds like everybody's saying the same thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a problem. My problem is this: when my party, the Democratic Party, retook a majority in the House, several large announcements were made, and several committees were scheduled to investigate all the things that have been done with the administrative procedures in the White House and by the executive branch in failing to fulfill its duties or in destroying the regulations that have been put in there for the good of the people.
Mm-hmm.
The budget follows the same path. But all the Democrats said, we have to do this because we're the other branch of government. And we have to show the president that we have this duty to find out about these things and talk about these things and bring them up, let everybody look at them.
Mm-hmm.
Until the issue of impeachment came up again.
Well,
and the practicalities of it really, to me, I don't mind if they delay until they've had some committee hearings and the stench becomes almost unbearable, but they're never going to get the Senate to convict, and we know that.
Yeah,
that doesn't negate their duty to say to the people, we have to do this.
So even if it turns out to be essentially a symbolic act, it seems to you that it's their duty to do that. Do I understand what you're saying?
Well, it's in the Constitution, and if they want to say that they are a branch of government coexistent with the executive and the judiciary, and they have a duty, they do have a duty, and they should perform that duty.
Uh-huh. There are Democrats who say this is a partial quote from the NBC article. There are certainly Democrats who argue Pelosi has a moral obligation to move forward with impeachment because they believe there's already ample evidence that he's committed high crimes and misdemeanors. So, you know, that's that's kind of like your viewpoint, yay?
If the president is trying to take over the government, appointing conservative judges, and then ignoring the will of Congress as far as what gets paid for by our government, then he is subverting the Constitution. She took an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. It's part of that oath.
I see. All right, listen, I appreciate
it. It's not moral, it's a part of the oath.
Yep, I understand. I understand that oath. I have sworn it twice.
Okay, I've only sworn it once. Yeah.
They invited me to swear it. They invited me to swear it again, Rudy. And I told them, how many times do I have to say this before you take me seriously? I've already said it twice.
Yeah, I know.
All right, listen. I appreciate you being in here this afternoon. Thank you very much. We'll talk again, Rudy.
You bet.
Sure enough. All right, I want to make sure to invite you to stay around because you got the All Souls edition of It's the Music headed your way just after the session this afternoon. We got a there's a stranger in there that looks an awful lot like Mr. Elliot. Oh my God, there's that smile. Yeah. All right. So you're going to have Mr. Scott Elliot in there and the All Souls edition, and you're going to have a catwalk in there a little while later and some other good stuff. And then by the time get to be about 4 o'clock, we're going to hand you off and take you through that traffic jam and get you back to the house. Let me see. We got Eric, can you do it in about a minute? That's what we got left. Are you there?
Are you talking to me?
If your name's Eric and you're in Lakeland, you're it.
Yeah, I didn't hear you say that, John.
Yeah, sorry. Like I said, we're almost out of time, but you got the last word.
Okay. Well, as far as impeachment goes, I'm kind of leaning towards the side of Nancy Pelosi, and then the Senate. Yeah, that's It's just, I don't think it's going to work. But as far as Bernie Sanders, I mean, I am a pro-Bernie Sanders kind of person. But we have to, people don't remember that Bernie Sanders used to be in charge of the VA.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was in charge of the VA, there was a lot of problems with the VA. And don't you think that the Republican Party is going to seize on that?
I would not be at all surprised at all. There have been massive problems with the VA for as long as I can remember, and I'm absolutely sure that you're correct. If Bernie runs, I'm pretty sure we are going to hear all about him again.
Yeah, that's but hopefully he can overcome that hurdle, and we can. I just think that you know, the best thing for us as the American people go to do is just vote Trump out in 2020.
Yeah, that I think is what I think that's what Nancy Pelosi's got in mind, is to continue with the investigations and continue to reveal what's been going on in such a way that in 2020 the guy just gets voted out of office. Listen, thanks a lot for closing us out this afternoon, Eric, and with any luck we'll talk again. And
all right, John, thank you.
I appreciate it. Chris in Tampa, we're not going to get to talk with you, but we are going to say
it has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better?
This is WMNF. 10-